SDPB's Kevin Wooster has been seeking input online into seeing how South Dakotans feel about the application of Marcy's Law to protect law enforcement officer privacy. You can find Kevin's weekly blog on our website, sdpb.org/Wooster. His most recent post is about another public relations challenge, this one involving the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks Department. And Kevin joins me on the phone now. Kevin Wooster, thanks for being here.
Great to be back, Lori.
So we just listened to Lee Strubinger's piece about the application of Marcy's Law privacy to law enforcement officers in the state. And this was something you posted on Facebook asking the question. You got a lot of responses.
I did. It you know, as things do on Facebook sometimes, it blew up pretty good. And the good news was I had some personal comments mostly. I had some comments from a fellow that's a former Game, Fish, and Parks Department law enforcement officer who was defending officers and, you know, the right to use that constitutional right, if that's what it is for all citizens, they should be able to use it. And especially in a time when officers are, you know, under attack in some areas, actually sometimes physical, life-threatening, life-taking attack. And then other people who are very, very concerned, vocally so, about the you know, the whole issue of, well, they're not regular citizens. They've got rights and powers of enforcement that I don't have, and where do we stop? And, you know, does that mean maybe to protect the officer's anonymity on some of these situations, we should just remove the names from badges so that nobody knows who they are, and they all just kind of blend into one, you know, one law enforcement agency? And it's an interesting discussion that I think we're going to be continuing, and a big issue, you know. I talked to Mark Vargo here, the Pennington County State's attorney, about it, and I said, so if 10 officers are behind 5 cars and a guy gets out, a perpetrator gets out and fires one shot in their general direction, they're all victims under the law? Mark Vargo said, as far as I'm concerned, they are.
Right. And I think a couple things happening here, and I'm curious if you see this as well, but for one thing, you have people sort of overcoming the notion, first of all, that a cop can be a victim.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And so, sure. In some ways, we don't necessarily even think about law enforcement officers as people who can be victimized because of just. So I saw people just hesitating, thinking, "Can they be a victim?" And sort of reevaluating, recalibrating in their mind. And then once they got that settled, then they were into this issue of the public's right to know and you know, the possible unintended consequences and implications of that. But pretty much almost anything, any incident where an officer has to use their weapon, they could, unless they're a sniper taking a shot from a distance, they can be classified as a victim.
Yeah, and that's an interesting discussion that we've really just gotten into with Vargo and some other people and the people on Facebook, which is I'd never thought of. I just don't, in my mind, I can certainly see an officer who shot or hit or injured as a victim. I think that was the case in North Dakota with an officer in a case like this. I just... When people said they're victims because there was a shot fired in their direction, I'm still having trouble, you know, absorbing that, really understanding that. I understand the right of a citizen who happens to be a law enforcement officer to be protected under a constitutional provision. But I also understand the argument that it's a little different when a guy has a badge and a gun or a woman has a badge and a gun and can go out and do things that I certainly can't do as a regular, including take my freedom away from me, at least temporarily, by arresting me.
And another concern that I saw frequently was this notion that if there are multiple officer-involved shootings, and it's the same officer, the public would never know. So if there was one a year and it happened to be the same officer, we can assume that the department would be paying attention to that and that the investigation from DCI and the Attorney General's office would be paying attention to that, but the public would not ever know that this was the same officer that was involved in another shooting in one of our communities or a different state.
I think that's another really solid point on why transparency is so important. We have to keep talking about this. The idea, and I had an exchange with a law enforcement officer who has actually been victim of a crime, and he wanted to keep it personal, but there's the concern that they're not being seen for the victims they can be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's legitimate. And one of the things he and others have said to me was there are these internal reviews, the Attorney General's review and all those, that check on that, and that if the person is found to be guilty of something or failed in something, then his name would be public or her name would be public. And, you know, the question I have is how often do those reviews, and I'm not criticizing them, actually, in South Dakota, have they ever done anything to an officer who was involved in a shooting? Not in my recollection. Maybe I don't remember one.
I think Seth Tupper did a piece on that, looking back, and that's consistent with your recollection. But I'm speculating now, so I would have to, but I believe Seth has done some work on looking into that. We'll have to look that up. Let's talk about another sort of public relations challenge, which is the game, fish, and parks, and a story about an injured deer in the Custer area. And this goes back to, again, sort of how, you know, how law enforcement officers are viewed and the decisions that they make and the scrutiny that they face and the notion of transparency in policy and action. Tell me a little bit about the story with the deer. Where does it begin?
Yeah, and it's another situation where something pops up on social media and everybody takes off and kind of knows what the story might be or parts of it and makes a lot of judgments on that. Actually, you know, what you and I and others do is to try and find out exactly what happened as near as we can. And, you know, a deer in a backyard in Custer, apparently a deer had been around town for a few days that got wrapped up in some gardening wire, a tomato cage of some kind or something like that, and its haunches and was impaired in the way it moved, may have been injured to a certain extent, but had been reported around town with people concerned, and officers had, for Game, Fish, and Parks, had tried to find a situation where they could take the deer out, you know, remove it, shoot it, if they could. That's generally the policy in situations like this. And finally, it was in a yard owned by Frank Carroll, who was a longtime public information officer for the Forest Service, and he and his wife and daughter were home, and called, the deer is here, and they called thinking, well, they'll come and take care of it, meaning they'll, you know, help it, take the wire off it, maybe release it, do something. And, of course, the officers came and looked at the situation and shot the deer in a situation they thought was safe, and things blew up from there because, as Frank said later, after he cooled down a little bit, it was a clash of expectations, a contrast of expectations. And that's not what they were expecting. The officers did exactly what they expected to do, and it caused kind of a blow-up.
Right. Talk a little bit about the professionalism that that Frank said that the officers displayed and then how the department responded to that after talking to the officers, because there's a little, you know, conflict into how exactly the whole incident went down.
Well, there is. In Frank's account of it, and we always deal with varying accounts, especially mm-hmm. when emotions are concerned, was that the officers were kind of jazzed up, as Frank said, and they, you know, when they shot the deer, they high-fived, and maybe that was his wife's account that they high-fived, but they got that impression that they high-fived and celebrated and said, "Hey, anybody want a deer?" You know. And John Canta, representing the regional office out here at Game, Fish, and Parks, says his officer said that there was absolutely no high five. They were dragging the deer up from an incline when they shot it, and said they each had a hand on it, and maybe they had their hands up, the off hands up in the air when they were pulling it for balance, and it looked maybe in a distance like they were. He says they were just trying to figure out how anybody would have gotten that impression.
Right.
So
right.
They maintain there were high fives. The officers say there weren't. The officers got the impression when they came there that they spoke to Frank's wife, and she said the animal needs to be put down. Frank denies that emphatically, that she never would have said that. So was there just a simple misunderstanding in interpreting words, or, you know, whoever knows on that? But the animal was put down, and then there was the debate about whether you couldn't have tranquilized it and you know, removed the wire. And that's always a complicated thing because tranquilizing is a costly, time-consuming, you know, and then would the animal have an injury that would have to be put down anyway? And then on top of all this, the Game, Fish, and Parks in the city are working on an arrangement to kill 75 deer because of the high number of deer in town. And so, as Canada pointed out, that might have been one of the deer we would have killed during that removal process in a few weeks. So,
you can read the full blog on Kevin's web blog post, sdpb.org/Wooster. And this sort of ties in at the end because these officers, the Game, Fish, and Parks officers, are not victims of anything. Their names have been released. You have them in the blog. And it goes back to this notion of, in the time that we live in, from a law enforcement officer's perspective, having your name out there as the person who made a decision, increases the scrutiny and perhaps online harassment, perhaps threats, depending on, where people decide to go with their social media efforts or what. So we live in complicated times where whether someone's name is released or not matters in ways that it didn't 20 years ago.
We do, and they could be subject to that. And I knew one of the names through Frank.
I hope not. I'm advocating that no one do that. Yes,
but yeah, you hope not.
But right. Yeah.
Then I asked for the other name to Canta, and he gave me the other name without hesitation. That he's confident that the guys did the job professionally, and so in that case they said sure. Yeah, there was no crime involved. So
right. Yes. It's a different situation, but I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that. It's another thought that officers have when their names are released, that people will do something with that information that 20 years ago wasn't an issue. We talked to Tony Harrison, who's the national trustee for the South Dakota FOP, and he was talking about legislation to make a violence against a police officer a hate crime. And he was, laying out his argument for that of saying how times have changed and how sometimes
These guys, I hope not, but they could get called names and could get phone calls. Who knows? I hope people don't do that because, as we said, they're doing their job and they tried to do it well. Did they do it perfectly? And Frank's argument is you need to do a little bit better on telling people what you're going to do when you arrive and make that public and have a discussion about it. So. Right.
And many people in South Dakota also would be very supportive of them. So we should point that out as well. Some people are calling them and saying, you did the right thing, and we all know it because of...
Sure.
Anyway, you can read all about it. Such an interesting topic, and Kevin did a great job online of laying out the story. So that's why we need journalists, Kevin, right?
It is why there are many reasons we need journalists. That's one of them.
Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.